been married, you can never get be a member of the church there. And I think that's wrong. I think we ought to rethink these things, if you please, there. And she asked for permission to speak, this young lady did, on the Saturday meeting when she went before the church. And she says, every one of you know that I've been married three different times. I've not only been married one time, I've been married three different times. And the Lord knows how many times I've been married. He knows about my burden that I'm carrying. And he went ahead and related, not all of the experience, of course, but enough that we could read between the lines and find out where they were coming from. And when she got through, it was put before the church, and the church received her, and she's been baptized into the fellowship of the church. And I think they did the right thing. I think, my friends, when the Lord cleanses a man, I think when he's regenerated and born to the Spirit of God, I recall a time on one occasion there when they brought a woman to him that was a harlot, that she was taken in adultery in the very act there, and he said, this woman was taken in the act of adultery, and he said, what should we do? Shall we stone her? The law said she should be stoned. But you know, this was a transition period, don't you remember? This was the end of the law. The law and the prophets were until John the Baptist, and since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. What are you going to say about this, Jesus? She was taken into adultery. Well, he said, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And he went down and he wrote in the sand, you know, with his finger, he bent down, he wrote in the sand. He raised up, and everybody was gone. He said, where are your accusers? Has nobody condemned thee? No man, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Now that's what the Lord said. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And I'll tell you one thing. When the Lord cleanses you from your sins, then's a time to start living righteously and holy and godly in this present world there. I'll tell you one thing. If you exclude everybody that's ever committed a sin, you'd clean out the pulpit in most of the churches around here. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we must acknowledge that, if you please, there. And we must remember there that the Lord knows what he's doing, and if he didn't condemn that woman, God forbid that I condemn her. Now, you can do as you like about that. I didn't aim to get into that. But anyhow, he tells us here in this lesson again now, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in your absence, work out your own salvation. Now we got to understand that there's two phases of salvation taught here in the book. Some people may not understand that, but that's true. You know, there's a phase of salvation that you can enjoy in your church that you can't enjoy out of your church. And you know that's the truth. You know, just think about that for a moment now. You know that's got to be the truth. You cannot enjoy the blessings of the church until you get into church, can you? You think you can. We all thought we could, but when we came into the church through the gates, if you please, into the city, let's look over in the book of Revelations there. I tell you, you may not want me to come back again, but I'm going to tell you what's on my heart, all right? And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Behold, I come quickly, the Lord said that, to give, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's your salvation. Are you going to make your life or something other? Are you going to prosper in this world? Are you going to make something out of yourself, or you're not? Last night I couldn't sleep. And I went and I told my wife before I laid down, I said, honey, I said, if you don't mind, I said, set those sleeping pills on the table. And if I can't sleep, I'll go get one and I'll take it in the night, you know. And so she went to sleep. I didn't know she might have been awake then. I don't know. But it was after midnight and I couldn't go to sleep. Around 2 o'clock, I said, well, I better go to the kitchen and get me a sleeping tablet. And I couldn't find the sleeping tablets. I looked all over the table and wasn't on there. Well, she put them on the counter, you know. She didn't put them on the table. She put them on the counter and I didn't find them. And I didn't want to wake her up. So I stepped out in the den, turned the TV on and all Christian station, you know. And I said, I'll see what they're doing. And there was a black man. I don't know where he was from. He was talking when I got him on there. But I enjoyed it. And I'll tell you a little bit of what he was saying there. He was from Chicago. I didn't know where he was from, too. He was from Chicago. He told me where he's from. He said, as a little boy, he witnessed seeing his father take a gun and shoot a man to death. Kill that man right in front of his eyes when he was a little bitty boy, he said. And he said he did it because they were gambling, and the man owed his father $20, and he couldn't pay it, and his father flew mad and got his gun and shot the man down and killed him. And of course, they put him in the penitentiary, and he was still there last night when the man was telling this. And he said that his mother had 7 children. And he said that was the prayingest woman that he ever saw in his life. Then he come in one day and he said, mother, said, what in the world's going on? He said, every time I come in the house, you're praying. You're praying again. She said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Sit down now, I want to talk to you." She said, "There's one of me and there's seven of you children. And I have the responsibility of raising you seven children there, and I can't do it alone. And that's why I'm praying. I'm asking God Almighty to help me and to bless me, to raise you up so that you won't do what your father did, and you'll grow up to be respectable citizens here in the land." He went on to tell that every one of us went on and finished high school. Not a single one of us, he said, has ever been on dope. Not a single one of us has ever been arrested for anything at all, because they had a good mother there. She taught them boys and those children, if you please, to work out their salvation and do it in a godly way while they were growing up, even in a natural sense there. And the same thing will apply spiritually there. When you've been given spiritual life, you have salvation. You have an eternal inheritance there. To an inheritance, the Apostle Peter said, who hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you and kept there by the power of God through faith in the salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now there's where your inheritance is. It's up there in glory, and it's not entrusted to you and me, and aren't we glad it's not? God will take care of that, and he'll take care of calling you from the tomb at the proper time comes. One of the brothers mentioned that. He's not coming back, and I agree with that wholeheartedly there. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of sin is death, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor, not in vain, in the Lord. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." I didn't know the time was gone. I apologize for that. But anyway, I don't apologize either. I'm not going to apologize for that, because I believe the Lord is with us there. But you know, time does slip away sometime before you know it there. But he's admonishing these people now that's already regenerated. He addressed them as saints, the saints at Philippi, members of the church. You know, there had to be members of the church. Let somebody come in here and want to join your church and don't show some evidence of having spiritual life, you turn him away, wouldn't you? You ever see that done? I did. I saw that right after I united with the church. We was at a church one time, my wife and myself, one night. And there was a man that had been with another order for most of his life, and he was then an old man. And in this old age, he came with the Old Baptist. Well, you don't learn somebody these things just overnight, you know. You have to be taught these things, and you have to read, and you have to do a lot of studying, and you have to do a lot of praying. And you never do learn it all, no way, you know. And they opened the doors of the church, and the pastor was, he didn't know what to do. But there's something other just told me in here. Now, I'm not telling you I'm a know-it-all. No, please don't take that attitude. But I do believe the Lord makes known something to us some once in a while. Something just told me in my chest, please don't take that man into this church. I never saw him in my life. I didn't know who the man was. I couldn't have told you his name. My life had depended on it. But something was telling me, no, 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 don't take this man into the church. And the pastor didn't know what to do. And old Elder Fagg, J.A. Fagg, he's probably been here with Elder Denny back in the days past and gone. Elder Fagg was in the audience, and he got up and he asked the pastor, and in fact, he was a member of his church. He said, "Can I speak?" He said, "Yes." He went over to the man and he asked him, he said, "What's your name?" He told him his name. He said, "Aren't you drinking?" He said, "Yes, sir, I am." He was under the influence of alcohol. And about all stewed up, you know, and drunk condition as he was, it would be a good time to get in the church, I guess he thought, you know. So he went up there. But Brother Fagg felt the same thing that I did. You know, you have a witness within your heart. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." That's the way we know it. It's revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The just shall live by faith." And Brother Fagg just brought it right out and knowed what to ask the man, you know, evidently knowed something about his past. And he said, "Yes, I'm under the influence of whiskey. I'm sorry." And he turned around and took his seat, and that was the end of that. So you must be regenerated and born to the Spirit of God. But when you're regenerated and born to the Spirit of God, remember that the Scripture said, St. Luke 16:16, "The law and the prophets were until John." And when John come, I'll tell you, that was the beginning of baptism, wasn't it? He baptized the Lord Jesus Christ and admonishes you and I to do the same thing there. "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling them upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And it's commendable to every man, woman, boy, and girl. And I must bring this to a close, and I want to read just a little bit in closing here of the language that the apostle used to this young preacher that was with him on this trip here, right here. He said, For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. He was literally a prison in Roman jail. But be thou a partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ before the world began. And let me just have one more, Brother Draper, and I'll be out of the way then. He wrote a letter to another young minister there, over to Titus there. And he tells him here, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. Don't they obey magistrates? In other words, be a law-abiding citizen then. You wouldn't want to be a half member of your church that wasn't above the laws of the state, would you? You want him to be a law-abiding citizen. That's what he was admonishing here. Be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man. To be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through our Lord Jesus Christ, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God be careful to maintain good works, for these things are good and profitable unto men. We're all interested in a profit, aren't we? Even in a natural sense of the word. And it's also profitable in the kingdom of God. These things are good and profitable unto men. I was down in Florida a few years ago, and I was burdened with this subject here. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary use, that they be not unfruitful there. There's just no end to it, my friend. But let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary use, that you be not unfruitful. If there was anything in this world our Lord was displeased with, was with something being unfruitful. I read this morning, and you've read it time and time again, how that he came to the fig tree, and the scripture said he was hungry. He was not naturally hungry, but he was hungry to see some fruits of those Jews, if you please, there, bearing fruit in the honor of their God, if you please, that had been so gracious to them there, and they were barren and unfruitful, and for that reason they were cut off from the blessings of the kingdom, and they suffered untold misery. And when I was in Europe in World War II, my brother and myself, we had an unusual experience. We were both in the same company. I never found that nowhere else. From the time the four brothers was on the ship that went down, they passed a resolution that no brothers would serve together again, but we got by. We served in the same company. I was in the headquarters platoon, and he was in the first platoon. He come to me one day when the war was over. He said, I want you to go with me. And we went down to one of the concentration camps there in Germany, and we found, and you know it's the truth, they built a memorial up in Washington now, a Holocaust memorial there, and more than 6 million people were put to death there, and they had many, had over, close to over 40 some hundred people there, piled up there, waiting to be burned in the great ovens there, if you please there. Those Jews are still suffering today. Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee unto myself, even as a hen doth a brood, and you would not. Now the door's open to the Gentiles, and let us be careful to maintain good works for necessary use, for these things are good and profitable unto men. May God bless you. Pray for us. Come to see us.
Amen. Amen. I love you. Appreciate that.
Well, the brethren has certainly reached my case this morning, and I'm sure he has yours. And I sit right there and got lost and condemned and delivered all over again. And it's the gospel is a wonderful thing. It's good news from a far country, and it's food for the soul of the sinner. And if I'm not deceived, I'm a sinner. I believe and know I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, as Brother Kirby said. And we don't want to rehash that again. I was thinking, though, as Brother Langham was talking about Elder Denny and the wonderful experience that he had in helping deliver the doctor from his condemnation. But I didn't realize until I accepted the call of the church here that years ago, Elder Denny was a pastor of this church, and he was also the pastor of my home church, Pine. And after all of these years, we've been separated now many years by the confusion of man. God's not the author of confusion, and God's people get separated. It's due to their own confusion and not that of man. And we've been separated for years, but now I'm the pastor of this church and at Pine Church, just like Elder Denny was. So maybe we've come full circle, and it's time for God's people to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, and to lay aside the things that divide us, and we might get back together to the honor and praise and the glory of our wonderful Savior. Brother Langham's text and also Brother Kirby's text both spoke about the Lord tasting death. By the grace of God, he tasted death for every man. And the every man was the every sons, the many sons that he was bringing unto glory. And he made himself of no reputation, Brother Langham spoke about. And he became obedient unto the cross, even the death, unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and give him a name above every name, in heaven, or in earth, or under the earth, that every knee should bow. And as you know how that goes, Brother Langham read it. But the point that we'd love to emphasize is that that's what we want to do. God hath highly exalted his Son. By grace, by the grace of God, Jesus tasted death for every man, for every son, for every one that he had given him. It wasn't because that he had to do it, or God was obligated to send him. It wasn't because that that you necessitated him to do that, but by the grace of God, he tasted death. It was by the every cause that God has ever done. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. So everything that God ever has ever done, it's because it's according to his eternal counsel from all eternity. It's not because of something we did, or we obligated him to do, or bribed him to do, or begged him to do. But by the grace of God, he tasted death for every son, the many sons he's bringing unto glory. And he, that is a son, willingly humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He tasted death in the most cruelest manner that we could imagine. Him being without sin and us being sinners, there's no way we can imagine the taste that a sinless, harmless, holy, undefiled Son of God could possibly experience. There's no way we can experience that. But he tasted death for us. And God, because of that, highly exalted him. And now, beloved, that's what we want to do. Isn't that what you want to do? Isn't that what the very witness in your spirit and soul today is, that you want to highly exalt Jesus, the one that died for your sins? That's what the church is. The Lord told Pharaoh, Moses, he said, you go tell him to let my people go, that they might go out into the wilderness and offer sacrifices to me. And we're to present our bodies, those that God has delivered, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, and that we might render unto him spiritual sacrifices, the fruit of our lips. We don't bring calves and bulls and goats today, and I thank God for that. We're not under the law of Moses, but we're under grace. But we do have some sacrifices to bring and to offer. God's children has been delivered from the very pits of hell by the blood of Jesus Christ, has a hope and a witness in here, and we should highly exalt him who willingly tastes death for us. That's the business of the church. They are called out group to come out from the world and to worship God through the Spirit by the merits and righteousness of Christ, whose blood was shed for your behalf. We want to highly exalt him. God has already exalted him. The world don't know it. The world denies it. But one day they will know it, beloved, because he's coming again. And that highly exaltation that God has placed upon him will be manifested to the world. If I'm not deceived, it's already been manifested right here. There was a time, about 30 years ago, that this poor heart crowned him King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I saw him a friend of sinners and a Savior that's all sufficient to save to the uttermost. everyone that comes unto God by him. We certainly thank the Lord for these brethren and appreciate the liberty he's given them and their efforts to come and preach for us and your efforts to come and to worship with us today. We're going to ask you to sing Rock of Ages. I believe that's 156, isn't it? 52, sorry. And we'll ask these brethren to stand down here. And if it's our custom to come around and shake hands and give them the glad hands of fellowship while we sing, if you'd like to do that, we welcome you to do that. If not, well, that'll be all right too. And we certainly want to take care of these brethren. We invite them to come and preach for us. We want to treat them in a godly way. And we hope that you will, we know that you will do that. We're confident that you will. And if you will, you might lay it on the table or give it to our deacons, because we want to know that they're taken care of. You can give it to them personally if you'd like, but we would like to know that they are taken care of. So sing, brethren, when you're ready. We publish the doors of the church open. If there's one or more here today that has found witness to this gospel you've heard preached and want to highly exalt your Lord by following him in gospel baptism and joining the church and keeping these things, be a partaker of the Lord's table and drinking a little sip of wine as his symbol of his blood and the unleavened bread as his broken body on your behalf. That's his commandments to his dear children. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And that's what we want to do. If there's one or more here today that would love to do that, publicly confess your Lord and Savior, we'll give you that privilege while we're assembled together. Sing, brethren, when you're ready. Number 52.
Is left for me.
And we'll clear our
We meet every fourth Sunday evening from 6:30 to 7:30 for song practice. Last fourth Sunday afternoon, we had a weenie roast and a cookout, and we enjoyed that. Had some visitors, and so you come, and we'll have another one sometime if we can talk them into it. And I enjoy it all. Come to visit us at any time you can. Always welcome.
Glad to have you with us. We enjoy your presence.
Our board church has a fifth weekend meeting in August. Thank you, Brother Bill.
So we meet on the second and fourth weekend in July.
We meet on the second and fourth. Of course, we are willing to have our regular second Sunday meeting here. And we always invite, of course, to come to Pine Church on first and third Sunday. All hearts and minds satisfied.
Now, if anybody wants to have these money for about 40 pounds, we'll divide it among
them. We told them. I told you not.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Blake Smith said, don't take care of his message, so I'll tell you again.
I can't hear you, but I didn't hear him say nothing.
Well, we feel like the day we went. By witnessing, we'll ask the Lord to dismiss us, those kind and merciful Heavenly Father. It's again we humbly bow and thank you for thy tender mercies and loving kindnesses, for thy struggles to be myself and definitely us all the days of my life. We thank you, dear Lord, for the fellowship we've had and felt here this day with thee, our Savior and our God, and with these ministers and these dear brethren and sisters as come to worship with us. We pray, Lord, may I live. Dismiss us in thy care. Be our light and darkness and our strength and weakness. So we ask you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's get that.